Well, good morning to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Danny McKibben, one of the fellows that preaches at the Pine Top Church of Christ regularly. And we're glad that you've tuned in this morning. And we hope as we study the Scriptures that we will be like the noble Bereans, that we'll just examine, listen carefully. Have any questions? Hey, we're here to study those questions, and because we're just trying to stand on the Word of God. We hope that's your disposition also, to stand on the Word of God. And that's what we're trying to do, is to teach the truth, teach the teachings of Jesus, and help people know what's right. And we want to begin by inviting you to the regular services of the Pine Top Church of Christ. We meet at 1102 Pine Top Road in Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community here in Russell County. We'll have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, and then followed by worship at 9:45, and meet again this evening at 4:30 Central Time for Sunday evening services. Hope that you can come to be with us as we study from the Word of the Lord. Here in Luke chapter 4, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, and bring these passages together to talk about the appeal of the gospel. Who does the gospel appeal to? Well, Jesus talks about that here in this passage. And we pick up there in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it is written. And then this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus came to preach and to teach and to help those that are downtrodden, those that are brokenhearted, those that are poor and blind and in captivity, to bring about liberation. You see, that's the appeal of the gospel, is forgiveness. Excuse me. It's the appeal to those that are hurting because of sin, because sin just brings tragedy in our hearts and lives, and brings guilt and condemnation and bondage and sin and corruption. And Jesus come to offer us liberty. He come to offer us freedom and to be released and to be recovered and to be restored. And ladies and gentlemen, that's who the gospel appeals to, is the people that see that they need God. They see that without God, they're hopelessly lost. It's the people that think, well, you know, I don't need anything, and I'm satisfied with what I've got, and I've got plenty of money, and things are going pretty good, and blah, 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 blah. And so they really just have no interest in the gospel. And that's just the way things are. Now, Jesus says in Matthew, the 11th chapter, in view of what we're talking about, he says, Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, here's the problem of the world that we live in. There are a lot of people that think, I don't need God. They don't accept their guilt. They deny their guilt. They rationalize in their mind, even though guilt's there, and they try to convince themselves that, you know, we're here by blind chance and dumb luck, by the forces of evolution, that we just sort of came from monkeys, and we're not really accountable, and not even sure if God exists, and well, on and on and on. And so these people feel no need for God. But the people that have good and honest hearts, they look within, they have guilt. They've been damaged and broken by sin. They've been disappointed because of the problems of life, because of the shortcomings that sin brings, the hardships that sin brings in the lives of men and women. And people like that, they see that, hey, the gospel's offering us hope. The gospel offers us a solution, a real solution to the greatest problem of humanity. And what's the greatest problem of humanity? Well, it's not global warming, and it's not politics. The greatest problem is the problem of sin. That's the greatest problem. Not famine and food shortages and diseases that run rampant in our world. The greatest problem is the problem of sin. Now, there are definitely problems about the distribution of food and folks going hungry. And there's certainly problems in the political realm of mayhem and wrongdoing. But the big problem of all humanity is the problem of sin, of how we stand in light of our Maker. And you see, when you think about our relationship with God, that we're morally accountable creatures. And when we feel the guilt and the weight of sin resting upon us, or in the language there of Luke chapter 4, to preach the gospel to the poor, those that are absolutely in poverty. You know, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there's the kingdom of heaven." That is, we have to see that spiritually, we're absolutely bankrupt spiritually. We have absolutely nothing. As we stand before God, we have no excuse for our sin, for our transgression. And the gospel is offering us the opportunity to be forgiven, offering us the chance to be redeemed. The gospel is offering us the opportunity to be enriched with the unsearchable riches of Christ, to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Man, we're just tore up. Spiritually, we're just a total mess spiritually. But Jesus can heal our broken heart. He can heal our mind and our soul. To preach deliverance to the captives. We've been captivated by sin. We're under the domain of Satan and wickedness and transgression. But through Christ Jesus, we can find deliverance. We can find forgiveness. And that, ladies and gentlemen, has a great appeal when we see that we're captives of sin, of Satan, that through Christ we can be liberated. The recovering of the sight of the blind. Oh, well, when we're blind, when we are oppressed, as it goes on to say, to set at liberty those who are bruised, or the English Standard says, to those who are oppressed. I mean, sin is very oppressive. Guilt just stays with you. I mean, you can't get away from it. The oppression of condemnation because of the guilt and the weight of sin bearing upon the hearts of people. And you think about death, you think about dying, and we're morally accountable creatures. I mean, the wise man said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, God had put eternity in our hearts. And so we think and we ponder and we contemplate about our spiritual relationship before God, that we are spiritually bankrupt. And then we look at that language there in Matthew chapter 11 here. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I mean, you think about carrying something that's really, really heavy, and you're like struggling to hold it, and you're trying to, and it's so heavy. And finally, you set it down on the ground. You set it down on the floor. And it's like, oh, what a relief. And that, of course, is the way it is spiritually. That we labor under the weight of sin, the cargo. I mean, just so heavy. And a heavy conscience that rests upon our hearts and minds as we stand before the Lord. And we can find no relief in and of ourselves. The world offers no relief. I mean, sometimes the world said, oh, yeah, just drown your sorrows away. You know, take drugs, you know, try to escape. Maybe with drugs and vacations or whatever. But conscience is a part of our heart, our inward being, of the essence of who we are, and we can't escape that. And so maybe momentarily we drowned our sorrows away, but then those sorrows come right back, and now we've got more problems because of bad mistakes of trying to think that alcohol and drugs are going to take away the problem and the guilt of sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is offering a solution. The gospel. The gospel means good news. The good news is you can be forgiven. The good news is that you can find forgiveness. The good news is that we can be redeemed. The good news is that Jesus can take that burden away. How? Well, by giving us forgiveness. Washing our sins all the way, just totally washing them away. That we can stand cleansed in the sight of the Lord and to be forgiven. I mean, it's just fantastic to ponder about. And for those that have the sense of responsibility of a good heart, that is, the sense that we know that there's some things we ought to do and some things we ought not to do. The sense of the ought, that's a good heart. And we have honesty, and it's like, well, we can't just, you know, try to finagle around it because we know we're just as guilty as guilty can be. But we learn that in the gospel, the good news, there is forgiveness. That is, that we can find relief. And that all we have to do is just come to Jesus and to learn of Him and to follow Him and to accept Him and His plan and obedience. That, boy, all these things can be washed away. That, ladies and gentlemen, has a tremendous appeal to spiritually minded people. That has an appeal to those that have the sense of the ought, that we just can't overlook sin. We just can't sweep sin under the carpet. We just cannot come along and say, well, it's... No, we're responsible before God. And so we hope that as we think about the invitation and the purpose of Jesus coming, the appeal of the gospel is to solve spiritual problems. And see, that's the problem in sectarianism, is that they preach a social gospel. That fun and gymnasiums and ball teams and, you know, all these fun and games trying to appeal to people. Well, you're just appealing to the wrong thing. I mean, Jesus talked about that in John chapter 6, that people were coming after Him for the loaves and the fishes. And they missed the whole point. They just, boom, just goes right over their head. And that so often is what happens to humanity. They're not thinking about spiritual things. They're not thinking about moral accountability. They're not thinking about the day of judgment. They're not thinking about spiritual responsibility before God. There in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. See, the wise and prudent, that's people think that they already know. That's people that they're pretty much self-satisfied of how, you know, how they living their life and what they have. I mean, they got money, they got a good job, they got security, you know, they got food in their stomach, got a nice house. And what do they need God for? I mean, they think, you know, the gospel's for losers. Well, ladies and gentlemen, these people are not spiritually minded. These people don't have that good and honest heart. They've been deceived in the worst way not to accept moral accountability and responsibility for the Creator. And so they try to pretend like they're not accountable, that they're not guilty, that they don't really need God, that they're smart and they're highly educated and they got plenty of money. So why do I need the gospel? And they take cynical views that, you know, just a bunch of hypocrites and blah, 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 blah. Well, the gospel has no appeal to them. They don't come to the gospel. They don't serve Christ. They don't follow after God. They're not seeking after God because their minds are polluted. And so the gospel appeals to people that are hurting, people that are seeking something better, more nobler, something greater than this world, knowing that this world, well, it's only temporary. It doesn't last for a long time. I mean, we're here today and gone tomorrow. Life is but a vapor, is the language of the Scriptures. We're going to, is the point of a man wants to die and after this, the judgment. I mean, morally responsible people recognize, well, we're going to stand before God in judgment. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the appeal of the gospel is to come to Jesus. If we could study with you, you let us know. Just give me a call at 606-308-5077. We'll be happy to study with you. Well, we've run out of time. Appreciate you listening. Hope that you can come and be with us today at the Pine Top Church of Christ. And until the next time, we bid you farewell.